This podcast brought to you by IFR Magazine, the magazine for the accomplished pilot.
Hello, everyone. It's Paul Bertarelli reporting with news ahead of Air Venture 2016. Today, I'm talking to Jim Koons, who's legislative VP for AOPA, who has just done yeoman's work in getting the third-class medical reform bill through Congress and actually passed and signed. So, Jim, where we are now is the bill is signed into law. And so we have two question areas here I'd like to talk about. One is, and we've heard from readers about this, how much flexibility, how much wiggle room does the FAA have in implementing this? In other words, will it look like, when it comes out of rulemaking, will it look like the intent of the bill originally?
Well, we certainly hope so, and that's our intent. You know, the statute is pretty clear on the overarching requirements for the new third-class medical reforms. And we're going to work very, very closely as much as we possibly can with the FAA to ensure that regulations going forward are not going to, you know, propose or impose new costs on or bureaucracies on pilots. And, you know, that's why we went after these reforms. And I think that we're hopeful that the FAA is going to follow the intent of Congress on this.
Now, one thing we have noticed, Jack Pelton of EA talked about this at Sun and Fun when they announced their STC project. He described as somewhat of a sea change at the middle level of the FAA with regard to regulations like this. And of course, he was referring to STCs. Could that also be the case for the medical certification?
Well, you know, I think that with a lot of work from AOPA and others, you know, and even inside the FAA, I think they're really starting to understand that some of the culture and mindset that have gone on for decades with respect to regulation and rules, and it's really having a negative impact on safety. And if we can find better ways of improving safety without these costly certification and regulatory processes, then let's go ahead and do it. And I'm hopeful. You know, look, you know, the FAA's credit, they did in fact put forward a notice of proposed rulemaking with respect to third class medical reforms. Unfortunately, that got stalled at the Department of Transportation. But and which really led us to put the full court press on a legislative solution. So I'm hopeful that that this will play into that, and just the costs associated with this this whole current system that we have in place. You know, pilots are now spending more than $20 million a year to comply with the current third class medical process, And that is really just absurd. And so we did embark upon this legislative effort, and we're very, very hopeful that the reforms that Congress has now put in place are going to pay off for general aviation pilots very soon here.
I think some of us are a little confused about the exact details of the implementation of this. I know I am. It has the 180-day timeline in it that requires the FAA to get the rules out by that date. If they don't get them out by that date, there's a kind of a grace period in there, and it goes to one full year. At that point, I was under the impression, and I think some of us were, that it automatically goes into effect. But that's not quite right, is it? And I think you probably should explain that.
Sure, Paul. You know, for pilots who sit down and read the legislation, I can see where it would appear a little confusing, but I think all pilots, all general aviation pilots that are interested in this issue, first of all, need to understand that none of the provisions in the new law will take effect until the FAA implements regulations to comply with the intent of the statute. So even though the president signed the bill into law on July 15th, none of the provisions take effect other than the beginning of the 10-year reach-back date. So from July 15th, 2016, back 10 years, if you've held a valid, regular, or a valid third-class medical certificate, whether through regular or special issuance, then you, under these new reforms, you've completed the one-touch by the FAA. In the legislation, or in the law now, it tells the FAA to implement these regulations within 180 days. And there is no enforcement mechanism attached to that. So if the FAA misses 180 days, which they could or could not, but if they do, there's really no consequence to that. But further on in the legislation, it does say, listen, FAA, you need to implement these no later than 1 year from the date of enactment. And if you don't do that, then you cannot bring an enforcement action against a pilot who has made every attempt to get a third-class medical. So there's really the enforcement clause to have these regulations out and implemented within a year. And we're very hopeful. We're trying to work with the FAA to make sure that they don't take that full year and really get this thing going and underway for pilots.
Okay, so we'll mark it on the calendar, and a year from now, we'll probably be coming back. I hope not, but we may be coming back to ask you for details on the actual implementation. Last question. We've been asked about the medical checklist that pilots will have to get every as part of an examination every 4 years. Any concerns about doctor liability from doctors who aren't AMEs on signing this document?
Yeah, you know, let me say this, Paul. You know, we started this effort with trying to move to, really an expansion of this four-pilot rule and a driver's license standard. And it became pretty clear that we were not going to get there. And so, you know, this required compromise. And we did, you know, our goal on this provision is with respect to the private pilot, private physician medical exam was to, you know, foster that relationship and get the federal government out of this healthcare issue, per se. And so in the statute itself, it really outlines what the form should look like, what the form should say, what specifically the doctor must look at. And that's between the pilot and his personal physician. And there is a requirement in there that was added at the very end of this whole process that's going to require the doctor to sign this form and suggest that that any condition that's being treated now doesn't really interfere with the pilot's ability to fly on aircraft. So there is some consternation about that provision. I can understand that. We've spoken to many, many, many physicians, and some will tell you that they have no problem signing that, and others have some concern. So we're going to embark on an education campaign for not only our pilots, but with physicians and with the medical community. There are also a number of forms out there that are used in scuba diving and in adventure sports, where I think the FAA could really take a good look at those and get a good idea of what is working out there. And you know, our whole goal here is to make flying safer and more affordable. And I think there's a way to do this through these reforms, and should help hundreds of thousands of pilots as soon as the FAA implements the regulations to conform to the statute.
Okay, Jim, well, thanks for these explanations. I'm sure it'll answer a lot of questions from our readers. I appreciate your taking the time.
Okay, Paul, thank you. Talk to you soon.
This is Paul Bertarelli, reporting ahead of AirVenture 2016. Thanks for listening.
This podcast brought to you by IFR Magazine, the magazine for the accomplished pilot.